Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're on the road at the Black Bear Casino and Resort with the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa to recognize Native American Heritage Month. And we're going to meet our local affiliate, Dan Huckalack, in just a moment. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Veterans Day is a celebration for all those who have served and continue to serve our nation with honor and distinction. Each year, we pay tribute to America's veterans for their devotion, patriotism, selfless service, and sacrifice on behalf of us all. Their loyalty to our country and their great courage have made us what we are today and what we've been for more than two centuries, a beacon of hope in an increasingly complex world. We say thank you not only to them, but also to their families, for they too have sacrificed. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, please join me in wishing a happy Veterans Day to those who have served and those who continue to serve this great nation.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is one of our affiliates. Minnesota Military Radio is now heard on 56 radio stations all over Minnesota, and we've got a couple of special Native American stations as part of that, one up in Boyce Fort and one here in Cloquet, and commonly heard, often heard voice on WGZS is Dan Huckalack. Dan, good to get you on the show for once.
Tom, always good to see you.
Dan, how many years now have you been carrying Minnesota Military Radio?
It's been approximately 5 years.
Five.
And we were, I believe you had about 25 affiliates at the time.
And we've been growing fast year by year by year. We want to get all the stories out about our military, our veterans and their families that all sacrificed so much for this country. And of course, we're up here today at Black Bear Casino and Resort because November is Native American Heritage Month. And you and I talked about this, I think, back in January, that we wanted to come up and do a show from up here and to feature your tribe, which is the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. And can you tell us a little bit? I understand that a treaty was signed in the mid-1800s, but your heritage, some trace it back to 800 A.D. You've been up here for 1,200 years.
Yeah, me not so much. But
you and I remember well. Okay.
Yeah, the Fond du Lac Band, the reservation was created or established under the 1854 LaPointe Treaty. I'm a direct descendant of Chief Buffalo from LaPointe, Madeline Island. He's my great-great-great-great-grandfather. My mother's side of the family grew up here, and throughout the years, obviously, the band has grown. Gaming has played a huge role in the growth of the band as far as businesses are concerned. The band has approximately 2,000 employees, two casinos, a hotel that we are sitting in right now. We have enterprises. We have a natural resources area department that is just first rate. They have an equal seat at the table with the EPA. Our band just completed three construction projects for our human services division, three clinic expansions in the neighborhood of $50 million.
So can you tell me again how many members you have of your band?
There's approximately 4,300, about half of them live immediately within the reservation.
And there are, how many bands are there in Minnesota of the Chippewa?
There are six Chippewa tribe, Minnesota Chippewa tribe bands. Red Lake is not a member of the MCT, but the Fond du Lac Band is one of the six.
And the other ones are down like Grand Casino and those folks down there?
Beach Lake, Mille Lacs, Boyce Fort, Grand Portage, White Earth, and of course the Fond du Lac Band. You mentioned earlier we have, or Minnesota Military Radio has two Native-owned stations. I believe we will be putting you in touch with Brad Walhoff from KOJB. They've expressed an interest in joining the family.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. Just letting you know right now, this moment.
Now, you're one of our unique stations. You play the show a couple of times a week.
We play it on Sunday mornings, and then again on Monday at 6 p.m.
And do you get much reaction from your members?
We get feedback that people love hearing it. We serve a very large market. Duluth's a fairly large market. A lot of stations, some carry it, but we do get feedback from non-natives as well.
So, and I hope it's positive.
Absolutely.
Very good, Dan. We're speaking with Dan Huckalack from WGZS up here in Cloquet on Minnesota Military Radio. Dan, I want to talk about the fact that historically, Native Americans serve in the military at a much higher rate than the rest of the population. Now, is that attributable to the culture? Is that attributable to what would you say that comes from?
Well, there are certainly people that could speak to this area far better than I. But yes, I know it's part of the culture. In Ojibwe, we call it the Ogechida warrior. And you don't necessarily have to be in the military to be a warrior. There are different ways that you can serve your community. However, you mentioned the disproportionate aspect of Native Americans serving, and that's part of it. And they are revered. Of course, they're appreciated in our culture, and we show that every year when we host that annual powwow that you've seen.
Veterans powwow, you hold your veterans in very high regard.
Yes, that is one of the great privileges of my job as a managing and radio station to cover that powwow every year, seeing some of the same faces over and over again. Everybody's welcome. It's not just Native Americans that are welcome to attend this. And we have a large group of Vietnam veterans that show up every year. It's always great to see them.
And when I was up a couple of years ago, there were members from the other bands of Chippewa all up there, and they had their campers out there. The powwow grounds were beautiful. And it was enlightening to see in what great regard you treat your veterans and how you hold them. But, Dan, I want to just share some things. We did a little bit of research. Historically, American Indians have served going back to the Revolution. But during World War I, they tell me 8,000 American Indian soldiers served. In World War II, 25,000 American Indians served. And we had some of them that were code talkers. And I understand that you recently had a code talker member of your band that passed.
Yes, the late Lex Porter passed in 1990, and he was posthumously honored by President Obama in a ceremony at the White House. He never shared that information with his family. And a lot of people around the country think, well, the movie Wind Talkers, featuring the Navajo code talker,
Navajo's right,
that they were pretty much the only ones that ever, you know, performed or worked as wind talkers, code talkers in the military. And there are, to my knowledge, more than 36 different tribes who have served as code talkers, including Lex Porter. And it was just fascinating to learn that information, you know, that history.
Well, I think when you got the different tribes and the different languages, that must have confused the enemy even more.
Well, they never could solve, neither the Japanese nor the Germans could ever solve that code, and they played a huge role in that.
A huge role, and they saved a lot of lives because they kept all that security. And after World War II, there were a lot of American Indian members that served in Korea, where they were about 10,000 Native Americans were serving then. And the one thing that you alluded to earlier was, I think annually you have a powwow up here, and you've got some powwow grounds out by the lake. I was up a couple of years ago with General Nash, and we were on your radio station with you. And one of the things that I thought that was just a lot of fun was that when we left, we went back to the airport and we got on that Black Hawk helicopter, General Nash gave orders to his pilot, "I want you to fly in over low over the lake and come up to the powwow grounds, tip the nose, and then fly off in a salute to our Native American brothers and sisters." It was a thrill to be on that chopper when we did that, but I'll bet it was even more fun to see it from the ground.
It was an incredible shot to take the camera out and catch that helicopter right overhead. You see them on TV, you see them in the movies, the news, and they're so much more imposing when you're 100 feet away from them.
That had to be a lot of fun.
Incredible.
And he was dead serious about it. He gave those orders to those pilots, and they said, "Sir, yes, sir, we're going to take care of this." Now, Dan, we just got a couple of minutes left of this segment, but we're up here to celebrate Native American Heritage Month. Are there a lot of activities? I know you've got a ceremony coming up here in about an hour, and you're going to do some MC duties.
That is correct. Yes, it's part of teaching not only our community, but our guests, our visitors, learning about the culture, teaching our culture to others. We'll have dancers here. We'll have a Cedar Creek drum group will be here. There are some local guys. The ceremony begins at 1300 hours. And as you mentioned, I'll be hosting that. We also have...
We're just getting you warmed up for it, Dan. You'll do fine.
We have wigwams outside in front of the building. We have free concerts this month. And we also have Native American Ojibwe cuisine in the buffet. So there's a lot of different aspects to it, and it's just getting started.
Just getting started. I'll bet you got stuff going on all month then, Dan.
Correct.
Well, it's very good, and we want to say thank you to you. It's been an honor having you as part of the Minnesota Military Radio Network for these years, and we just finished our 8th year of programming. We're starting our 9th. I think this is show number 438, and we know it goes out to you up here and up to Boys Ford and all over Minnesota, and we want to make sure we continue to tell the stories of our service members, our veterans, and their families, because the families sacrifice when the service members go off on the missions and deployments.
We are so grateful to all of our veterans, and personally, I say the same thing. I'm a civilian. I never served, but I have the utmost respect for our military, and thank you to all of you.
Well, Dan, it's sure a pleasure to be up here, and I'm appreciative that you agreed to host us, even though it was last January. But we're finally up here and doing the show. When we come back, we're going to talk to a member of the Fond du Lac Lake Superior band who is going to tell us about his life and his service in the military. So, Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're on the road today at the Black Bear Casino and Resort with the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa to recognize Native American Heritage Month. And we've got a special member of the band joining us right now. His name is Robert Wallace, and I understand you served in the Army for a long time.
Yeah, I did.
How many years?
Well, 67 to 73.
Well, you put in some pretty good years. And what did you do in the Army?
I did this, I did that, wherever they need me. At the end of the day, I was by the military police in Frankfurt, Germany.
In Germany?
Yeah.
So you got to leave Minnesota.
Had to.
And go over to Germany, and I understand you kind of liked it.
Oh, yeah, I found a nice woman over there. Yeah, nice wife, mother. Yeah.
She's looking at you from
right
across.
There.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about Germany. You served over there, and you decided you mustered out and decided to stay.
Well, I was going to put 20 years into service, but my father-in-law passed away. So I said, you know, I had to leave the country, you know, after a certain time. So I decided to get out then. So I worked over there at a private company over there as a construction worker and did 37 years.
And now you've moved back home.
I moved back home. I'm retired now, and I'm glad to be back.
And it took you 37 years to convince your wife you could move back to Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. But she loves it.
But you finally got it done.
She loves it here.
All right. Now, were you born as a member of the Fond du Lac?
Yes, I was. I was born as a member of Fond du Lac. And I'm serving right now as an honor guard when I come home. And it's for me an honor to do this, to give something back to what they gave to you as, you know, as you're growing up or today even, you know, they help you out with everything. And so this is a little something to give back.
So we're up here because it's November is Native American Heritage Month, and there's going to be a little ceremony here in about an hour.
That's right. We're going to be involved in it, too, the honor guards.
And so this is your honor guard uniform you've got on.
Right. This is the uniform.
Decked out pretty nice. We'll have to get Johnny to get a picture of that put up on the...
This is what my daughter from Germany, she made extra for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yep. United States Army.
Yep.
Very good. Now tell us about the honor guard up here. How often do you get to do some things?
Oh, right now we're pretty busy. We're going to be going now to, this event here, and then we're going on the 9th. We got an event in the school, and then we got on the 9th after that event. We're going down to Morton, Minnesota. We're staying 2 days down there, and we're coming back, and we're going to be here for the Veterans Dinner. And then we're going to Minneapolis for
Veterans Day.
Veterans Day, yeah.
The
dinner of the day. And then we're going to go to Minneapolis for one event. And the 15th, and I'm finished because I'll be flying back to Germany.
Uh-oh. You're going back for a while?
I'm going to go back over the Christmas time, and then I'll be back then in spring.
Very good.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you, Robert, about every year you have up here what's called a Veterans Powwow.
Right.
Can you tell us what is that for those that don't understand?
Well, that's like a... To me, it's a big family get-together. You know, they have good food there. They entertain, out dancing, and the drums, and we're out there with the honor guard. And it's a nice celebration. It goes on 3 days. There's no alcohol involved, no drugs. And it's really nice. It's something for the community. Everybody can come out there. It doesn't have to be Indian people. Just, you know, it can be white people. They come out there and see, you know, see our culture, understand us better. Yeah, that's.
I was out and visited that 2 or 3 years ago, and the powwow grounds are actually, it looks like a little park, right on the lake.
Yeah, it's.
And then there's a circle. What's? Can you tell us about the circle?
Well, that's where the drummers are. They're in the circle there, and they make the music. And the people dance around the drummers and the music that they're playing and everything. It's just a great thing, you know, an honor to be there, you know. Yeah, if you haven't, you know, lived something with that, you know, seen it, you know, then you don't understand it. But if you go out there, like you were out there, I've seen you out there in the general, and was an honor for them to be there.
It was an honor. Yeah. It was fun to be there. We're speaking with Robert Wallace, who is a member of the Fond du Lac Lake Superior Band of Chippewa and an Army veteran, on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Robert, excuse me, my tribe is Irish, so we have different customs than Native Americans.
We could probably speak German. I could probably
we could probably do that too. But I'm interested in that veterans powwow.
Yeah,
it's there were bands from all over the state came in.
Right,
there were campers. There was food. There was dancing, and then right. There was this special circle we talked about.
Yeah.
And as I recall, you invited the veterans into the circle,
mm-hmm.
and then they were playing the drums and
right.
dancing.
Right,
and it looked to me like your band and the Chippewa hold your veterans in very, very high regard.
They do, in many different aspects. They thank the veterans for what they did, you know, and it's just a big honor. Like I said, it's a family, you know, thing. But everybody can join in. When they got the veterans out, they asked the other people to come out and join with in the dancing. And some people, they don't understand it, but you just get out there. My little grandson was out there. He said, Grandpa, he said, I don't want to dance, though. But he got out there. When the music started playing, his little legs start dancing automatically. And he said, that was good. Yeah.
So he was out there with you then?
Yeah, he was out there with me. Yeah.
Well, it looked like there were, when I was up there, there were a lot of veterans there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the other question that we keep coming back to is that Native Americans serve in much greater numbers than the rest of the population. What would you attribute that to? Is that part of the culture?
Yeah, it is. They do so many different things, you know, for the, and that's if you got to understand the culture, and you learn it by going to these powwows. You learn that you're more into it, and you see what's going on and what they do for the people and everything. And you, like, all I can say is, like, it's just one big family, you know. Like, you got these different countries in Germany, for instance. When I was in Germany, they got these dances. They dress up like the olden days. Like, and that's just too like what we do here with our dressing up and everything. And I see, too, that if the women, they make their own dresses and everything. They have to make their own dresses. You know, they're not bought or something. You know, they put it together. And every little thing, that detail they put on it, it's extra blessing that goes on that.
So this is tradition.
Tradition.
And it's the way things are supposed to be done.
Right. That's how it's supposed to
now,
be.
Now, when you were growing up, did you know that you were going to join the military? How young were you when you kind of knew?
Well, I didn't. I just said, you know, Cloquet is kind of small. I want to get out of here. There's nothing here. But when I was growing up then, I turned 17 and I was going to go in the Navy. I had a car accident. The Navy wouldn't take me. They said, go by the Army. They take everybody. So I just wanted to see the world when I was young. So I joined the Army, and it was a good experience for me.
So in your time, it was an opportunity to join another tribe, so to speak, the Army.
Right, right,
and
right.
Go off and see the world and learn some new things and get paid.
Right, right. That was, for me, it was, like I said, an experience for me in many different aspects. You know, you see different parts of the world. You meet different people. Like when I was in Japan and Okinawa, I learned the culture. I learned the language part of the language, so I can understand the people better. And every country I went to, like Germany too, that I learned that language, I can speak it fluently, read it, write it. And so it's a...
And you found a nice lady.
I found a beautiful lady.
That all worked out pretty well.
Right. I got three beautiful children.
Yeah. Now, here's another member of your honor guard coming in the door.
Yeah, that's Shelley.
That's Shelley, and we'll talk to her soon. Now, we just got a little over a minute left. You're wearing your Army cap.
Yep.
You're all dressed up in your honor guard gear. You're ready for the ceremony today.
That's right.
You're a proud veteran.
I'm very proud.
How is it to be back home after all those years?
when I left, you know, it's everything. It's all different. Every year I come back, there's something new, you know. Home is home.
It's a time to reconnect with your Native American brothers and sisters.
Right, right.
And of course, you made all kinds of other brothers and sisters in the Army too.
Right, right.
The Army family.
It was hard for me to leave the Army because I met so many nice people in the Army, you know, and good times. We had some bad times, of course. But you know, it's how you want to make it. You know, if you strive on something to do something good, you'll achieve it. You know, it's like here, whatever you want to do, there's out there. Get out and do it. You know, you can do it. So,
and we all learned that when we joined the service.
That's right. That's right. And what makes a man out of you.
Yes, sir, it does. Well, Robert, it's been just a pleasure meeting you, and I want to thank you for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio today. And I'm going to stick around. I want to see what this honor guard does at this ceremony a little later.
Okay.
You're all dressed up and ready to go. You all set?
It was an honor. Honor to be here.
Thank you, sir. That was Robert Wallace, a member of the Fond du Lac Lake Superior Band of Chippewa, and he's up here for a ceremony in honor of Native American Heritage Month. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're on the road today at the Black Bear Casino and Resort with the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa to recognize Native American History Heritage Month. And in a moment, we're going to meet Shelly West. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly message from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
November is Native American Indian Heritage Month. And as we celebrate, I want to take a moment to talk about our Native American veterans here in Minnesota. A permanent plaque on the Capitol grounds in St. Paul serves as a reminder of the contributions Native American veterans have made to our state. Their contributions to our nation's military were noted by General George Washington and have continued on to today's conflicts. It has been documented that Native Americans, percentage-wise, are the largest ethnic group to have served in our nation's armed forces. The Department of Defense's research found that this high percentage has been, in part, due to their cultural attributes of strength, honor, devotion, pride, and wisdom. We are grateful for our Native American veterans for their service and sacrifice to this great nation.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Well, we're pleased to have a member of the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa with us, who is also a fellow airman and served with the Minnesota Air National Guard. Her name is Shelly West. Shelly, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to be up here at the Black Bear Casino and Resort today, and we're up here on the occasion of Native American Heritage Month, as you heard from Commissioner Shelito. But I want to talk to you a little bit about your service. How long did you serve in the Air National Guard?
I was in the Minnesota Air National Guard at the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth, Minnesota for 27 years.
27 years. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
What caused you to sign up the first time?
Well, this is kind of a funny story. A dear friend of mine, a softball player, we played softball for many, many years together, and she joined the service, and her husband joined the service. I ended up buying her home, and I was in college at the time, and she suggested the military, and I was a school teacher at the time, so I thought, wow, this would be great to help pay for my college, and I decided to sign on the dotted line.
Yeah, and you did it quite a few more times because you had to reenlist, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And what rank did you end up after that many years?
A Master Sergeant, E7.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It was awesome.
You're smiling. You must have enjoyed it.
I did.
And I'm wondering, you know, we keep seeing statistics that our Native American brothers and sisters join the military in far greater numbers than the rest of the population. Are you aware of that? Do you have any reason why that might happen?
Well, what I think is that there are many more Natives than people realize that are serving. You know, when you join the military, you have to fill out a lot of paperwork, and, you know, it asks your origin and whatnot, and I was always proud to put down that I was Native, along with my other heritages. But I've had a lot of diversity training throughout those 27 years, and a lot of my comrades were Native, even in Duluth. So I'm very proud to be a part of that at the 148th, and then more so even here at Fond du Lac. This is where I work full time. So,
well, part of the culture, part of your heritage.
Definitely.
A warrior culture, if you will, and you sign up, and I'm told as many as 25% of the eligible Native Americans sign up, as opposed to about 1% of the rest of the population. So that's huge.
It's wonderful. I just think it's wonderful. I mean, you get your education, you're working full-time, it's something to be proud of. Nobody ever can take that away from you besides your education. It's really important to be proud of who you are and be a mentor for students and children to know that you should be proud from where you, you know, where you came from.
We're speaking with Shelley West on Minnesota Military Radio on the road today from the Black Bear Casino and Resort. We're talking with the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, and honoring Native American Heritage Month. Now, Shelley, I understand you were an admin specialist and a logistics management specialist.
Yes, sir.
Logistics, it's a big job to pick up, say, 200 or 300 airmen and some equipment and fly off on a mission and stay there for 3, 4, 5, 6 months and then get everybody home. It takes a lot of planning, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I did not deploy myself. However, in the position I was in, I would prepare airmen to deploy to many different places across the world. And you really have to have your ducks in a row. And it's important that they receive all the training that makes them ready to take on anything that can happen when you're deployed. And so I took pride even at home from what I did to serve my comrades. And it's just an honor, and it was such a rewarding thing to go through. And you feel like you're a member even when they're overseas. So, and more importantly, when they come home, we need to remember to support them as much as we can, and their families also.
Now, Shelley, I understand you were at a school when Katrina hit. Were you involved in that?
Well, what happened was, normally you go to basic training and then you go to a technical school. Well, at the time I was a school teacher in Duluth, so I didn't attend my first actual military school till I was 19 years into my career. So I ended up having to go to an administrative school at Keesler Air Force Base, and it was a month after Hurricane Katrina had hit, and we had adopted a Hurricane Katrina family, and they were all staying in the FEMA trailers, and our project for our class was adopting a family, and I spearheaded that. And many children in this family, a lot of heartbreak. We raised enough money, we crocheted blankets, we brought them food, we bought a freezer, and then I ended up getting the commander's coin for that class, for all the hard work we did to support the Hurricane Katrina family that we had adopted. So that really means a lot to me.
So you were able to contribute and help? And
in that way, absolutely.
Sure. Now, during your career, back when I was in Vietnam, it was mostly guys, but over the last 40 years or so, there's a lot of women that have entered the military and a lot of women in the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard. And you kind of saw that throughout your career, where more and more women were joining. Were you aware of that?
Of course. It's alive and well. And when I retired, you know, I saw the trend of where a lot of females were moving up the food chain in management and supervisory positions at the guard base. And, you know, it was a long time a coming. And I think that women are looked at as just as capable and have great skill sets to bring to the table and have good ideas, just like men.
And, of course, we've got the first woman one-star general, Sandy Best, with the Air National Guard, and we've got a female general in the Army National Guard, so they're commanders. They're from the top to the bottom, and as they say, mostly on the Army side, next soldier up. And it doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman. If you've got the training, if you've put in your time, if you're doing your job, it's starting to equalize out, doesn't matter whether it's a man or woman anymore.
No, it doesn't. And everybody gets the same training. You know, they do say, though, that the enlisted force, if you're enlisted before you become an officer, they're supposed to be a better officer. But, you know, it's all about respect and training. And we're there for one fight and one goal, to stay alive and serve our country. So it's an awesome thing to see women start to bloom.
Makes sense if you're on the
great.
Bottom and you get to the top.
It's
you're going to remember it.
That's right.
I've got one more question for you before we run out of time. I understand you serve on the Fond du Lac Honor Guard.
I do.
Can you tell us about that?
Well, the Fond du Lac Honor Guard consists of probably 15 members, and we take part in opening ceremonies and closing ceremonies for a lot of Native events that happen on the Fond du Lac Reservation, or we travel and we do a lot of powwows, and we're involved in the grand entrances and the closing ceremonies. So it's an honor to do that since I do work at Fond du Lac, and I've met so many wonderful people through being in the military, whether at Fond du Lac or in the civilian sector.
Now, I understand every year you have a veterans powwow.
We do.
Yeah, and I've been to one. And it looks to me like the Native Americans treat their veterans better than any other group I've ever seen.
Oh, I loved it last year. That was the first one I attended. And to see all of the military people that just even come that aren't even Native to celebrate supporting your country and being a band member somewhere, it's very humbling. And to see our leadership from Fond du Lac be there to support us and...
They hold your veterans in high regard.
And the dancing, I mean, I just love it. I mean, I can carry a beat.
I'm not sure I could do that very well, Shelley, but I bet you can.
Thank you.
Well, Shelley, it's been an honor to have you on the show today, and it's fun to be up here broadcasting from the Black Bear Casino and Resort. And any final thoughts about Native American Heritage Month?
Well, I think everybody should participate in the events this month, especially at Black Bear, and to remember our fallen soldiers and to support families that have military members that are serving whatever branch of service you may be in.
And Shelley, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk to a couple other Native Americans that are members of the Minnesota Army National Guard. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're on the road today at the Black Bear Casino and Resort with the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa to recognize Native American Heritage Month. And joining me in this segment, we have two members of the Minnesota National Guard's Army National Guard, Chief Warrant Officer Austin Corbine and Corporal Holly Pearls. Both of you, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, and thanks for joining me at the Black Bear Casino and Resort.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Chief, we want to start with you. I understand that you are an aviation maintenance supervisor, and you're a member of the Bad River Ojibwe.
Yes, Bad River in Wisconsin. Yeah, that's where I'm from. I'm also, aviation maintenance warrant officer. As far as a supervisor, I just try to help manage aircraft maintenance and things like that.
And so, how long have you served in the Army National Guard?
So right now, total time in the military, I just celebrated 25 years this past August. And then I've been in the Army National Guard since 2001.
And what prompted you to join? Way back when?
Way back when. So, I did the Air Force for a little while, for 8 years. And then I used to work on fighter jets, F-15s, avionics and stuff like that, electronics. And then I got out when I thought the aviation market was good. And then that was 2000. And then 2001, I was going to move to cities. Well, then 9/11 happened. And, of course, my aviation career went to kind of on hold for a little while. So then I kind of just decided to join the Army.
Try the Army side.
I tried the Army side for a little bit. Yeah, that was kind of a learning experience in itself, going from the Air Force to Army.
One of the other things you do now is you're an advisor to the Native American Council. Can you tell us what that is? Minnesota National Guard.
Yeah, so kind of we've been trying to do this for a couple of years now, is just trying to get out to the community, not only within the military, is kind of educate our own military leaders, military peers, as kind of, you know, Native American history and heritage, and also, you know, the kind of needs of the community, and also get out there and try to talk to the community leaders themselves and kind of find out, you know, what's going on, what do they need, you know, especially with the youth and things like that too. So,
and of course, the Guard for years now have been talking about diversity in the force, and they want to make sure that they've got all of the people of Minnesota represented in the force, and including Native Americans, which show up in great numbers.
Yeah, so, you know, we just look at Minnesota as a whole, you know, as far as just how diverse, you know, Minnesota, especially down in the Twin Cities, you know, with all the communities that we have down there. And they look at the makeup of Minnesota within a Native American community. So, it's kind of one of those things that we, I think we're pretty proud of. and we would, of course, like to do more. So,
well, and you show up in great numbers, and that's great. And, mm-hmm. and Holly, how long have you been a member of the Minnesota Army National Guard?
I've been in for 8 years this month.
8 years? Yeah. And you're a Black Hawk mechanic?
I am. I work on Black Hawks. I do it full-time. Pretty passionate about it. Work with Mr. Corbine here.
If I'd asked you 10 years ago if they were going to be a Black Hawk mechanic, what would you have said? Was that a possibility way back
then?
Yeah,
I suppose. I mean, in high school, I was mechanically inclined, worked on cars. Definitely glad I didn't go that route. Decided to join the Army and elaborate my vocabulary and got into aviation, and I just could not be happier.
Now, what prompted you to join? Did some of your friends sign up, or how did you come about?
In all truth, my dad was kind of against it, so I decided to join the service. Yep.
Uh-oh. We may have to edit that out to keep you out of trouble. Is he proud of you now?
Oh, yeah, very proud. Yep.
I bet he is. Are you enjoying your time as a Blackhawk mechanic?
Oh, yeah. I'm a lifer for sure.
She keeps me on my toes. So.
Keeps you on your toes? So do you ever get a chance to go up in the Blackhawks?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Well, it's a pretty nice ride, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, very.
I've had the honor to be in one of your Blackhawks quite a few times.
It's not as good as a Chinook, but it will do.
Oh, you'll do that for days.
Here we go. Here's diversity again, right? Different kinds of aircraft. Oh. Now, Holly, I understand you're a new member of the Native American Council.
I am. Yeah, I've been. Corbin's been teaching me about it, and I've seen what he's been doing with the community. Growing up, I didn't really know much about my Native culture. It was kind of. I mean, I grew up around it, around Native Americans, but never really learned much. And now that I'm in the military and now that I can incorporate both into one, I definitely want to learn more. And I look up to Mr. Corbin. It's really nice to see
Just
see Native Americans.
Just because he's a big, tall guy?
Oh, no, and especially not because he's a Packers fan. But
here we go.
He is. It's nice to see. He's a good mentor, and it's nice to see Native Americans, and I mean any race or any women, men. It's just nice to see a diversity.
And so now you're more interested in learning about your heritage a little bit more.
Yeah.
How are you going about that?
Through Mr. Corbin here. I kind of just started. I just joined the council.
So part of it too is kind of within our. We talk about educating our own force. Is you know, in my travels from active duty to deployments to whatever else, is kind of. You know, find out more and more as far as people that, hey, could have skipped a generation or skipped two generations or whatever else. And people say, hey, you know, I'm Native American, you know, educate me. And that's kind of what we also want to look for, too, is trying to make sure, hey, these young soldiers and stuff, like, oh, hey, oh, by the way, we can do this. Because not only in Minnesota and Wisconsin and, you know, North Dakota, South Dakota, we have all these different tribes, you know, and kind of mm-hmm. so to learn their culture, too, as far as, you know, the difference between Ojibwe and Sioux is kind of one of those other things, too, that we try to educate ourselves, too, so. So we want to educate the young people, too.
Chief, in my research, we found out that historically American Indians have the highest record of military service per capita when compared to other ethnic groups. The reasons are deeply rooted in traditional cultural values that drive them to serve their country. These include the proud warrior tradition and strength, honor, pride, devotion, and wisdom. And what I'm told is that Native Americans sign up to the rate of about 25% of eligible service members within the Native American communities, whereas the rest of the population serves to the point of about 1%. What would you attribute that large number to?
You know, so I kind of want to use myself, for example, in this, is to where growing up, as far as I look at the options as when I was going through school, you know, my grades... Grades weren't the greatest, but that was my own doing. But I wanted something. I wanted something more. And I know my grandpa, my uncles, my cousins, we all kind of, you know, served, and they served before I did. So I kind of had that. And then we look at how we honor our veterans. You know, we talk about veterans' powwows, veteran songs, things like that. And so when it came time for me, I kind of do the same thing with Holly. My parents were kind of. You know, kind of against it at the time, but I was a young man, you know, so I kind of wait till I was 18. And so I wanted to do something more with my life, something that I could bring back to my community once I got older. So that's kind of how I looked at it and joined the Air Force and see the world. And do things that I never thought I till this day still, you know, flying on helicopters, working with the people I met throughout whatever else and wherever my travels take me. It's just, and I try to bring that back home and talk to kids. Kids look at me and, hey, what have you done? And me and my family and guys I went to school with too. So,
Chief, you've already put in quite a few years. As you look back at your career, are you happy with it? Did you make good decisions? You look very happy.
Yes. There's some times where I kind of wondering, you know, what am I doing?
Well, we all have those issues.
You know, kind of. And by trying to, you know, these young kids nowadays, it's kind of the fact of, can I keep up with them anymore? You know, as I get older and I'm trying to run her with them and I'm like in a corner licking my wounds, you know, rubbing my knees and whatever else too. But yeah, it's, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's just, I am very thankful. You know, Minnesota's been great to me. The service has been great to me, so I'm very thankful for the opportunities and the things that I have and see.
Very good, sir. Chief Holly, thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank all of our guests for joining us today, as well as Commissioner Larry Shelleteau, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the General Vesey chapter of the AUSA. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.